the world, the flesh, and the devil. Let's just say they've all been at work this week, and so it's just good to be able to come in and see brothers and sisters in Christ and smile. Most of us smile. Some of us smile. More smile now. And just encourage each other, you know. We don't know what's going on in each other's lives, and we don't know what stresses there are. And so it's just nice to be able to come in, see each other, say hi, and just encourage one another in the Lord today. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to continue on with our study on the spiritual gifts, and we are now. We've already looked at the temporary gifts or the sign gifts, the gifts that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us will pass away. And now we're going to get into the gifts that we use today, and that God wants us to use. And you'll remember when we started this study, really went through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we understand that the spiritual gifts, they are gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit so that we could be a complete, vibrant, and useful church, that we would be a complete body working together. We also looked at the fact that nobody possesses all of the gifts, but every believer does have at least one. And so now we're going to get into those gifts that we do possess, that we do use today. And as I shared with you in other lessons, as we go through these, there may be some that stand out to you and go, yeah, I can see that. As we go through these, though, what we want to do is we want to look at it from a perspective of, I don't want to use the word selfish or self-centered, but me, you know. Don't try to apply these gifts to somebody that you know. I've seen them do this. They must have this gift. That's none of our business, okay? That's between them and God and the Holy Spirit. But as we go through this and we discuss this, as we get into these gifts, I'm sure that some of these are going to stand out to you and go, yeah, I can see that. I can see where God uses that particular thing in my life and allows me to use it in his service and in his work. And so we're going to get into these today. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're just going to start in verse number 8. And we're just going to start going through these. Again, we went through 1 Corinthians 12 at length. And so we're just going to hit on these and then get into them. My goal today is to get through three of these. Very rarely do I meet my goal, so we'll see how it goes here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8 says this. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh, that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So we understand that the spiritual gifts that are given to us, they are given to us individually, and they are given to us by the Holy Spirit. Now there may be a gift that you have been given, and you might think, yeah, I can see that this is a spiritual gift, because in and of myself, I wouldn't do this. In and of myself, I could not do this. You know, this is definitely the working of the Holy Spirit in my life, giving me the ability to do these things. We did look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We looked at gifts that would pass away, and they did pass away. Verse number 8, it says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And we talked about the difference between knowledge, or what knowledge is, and the knowledge that is described in the Bible. And then now, in 1 Corinthians 13, it says that knowledge will pass away. But from 1 Corinthians 12, 8, we know that there's a spiritual gift of wisdom, and it does not talk about that passing away. So what is the spiritual gift of wisdom? There are about four different kinds of wisdom that are talked about in the Bible. So we just want to look at some of them this morning. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we have an interesting situation here where the apostles have been in prison for preaching Christ. And the Sanhedrin, the council there, has come together to discuss what they're going to do about these apostles and about their preaching. And we see here displayed for us through the lawyer, the teacher there, Gamaliel, we see what we would refer to as kind of a natural wisdom. And so if you look at Acts chapter 5, I'm just going to start reading verse number 33 just so we keep it in context. So when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. So the apostles have been brought before them. They're preaching the gospel which they've been commanded not to preach. And the Pharisees are very upset about this. Gamaliel stands up, and it says here that he's a doctor of the law, and had a reputation among all people. We also know from Paul's testimony that Paul was a student of Gamaliel. Gamaliel taught Paul in the ways of a Pharisee and the Jewish laws and so forth. And then he says, he commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and he says, set them aside, get them out of here, we need to discuss something. And he says, you men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theodas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain. So he's talking about this Thaddeus, the name there in the first part of 36. And all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. So he was put to death, and his following broke up and dispersed, and nothing ever came of it. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Now he says this, and now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if the counsel of the work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. So, the natural wisdom here, he's just looking at things that have happened in the past. He goes, look, there were some other men. They had a following. When they died, the following broke up. They dispersed. He goes, let's just leave these men alone and let's see what happens. Because if this just disperses and goes away, fine. If it does and if it continues, we certainly don't want to be accused and be in the situation where we're fighting against God. So it's just a natural wisdom, this is what happened before, let's see what happens again. So that's a natural kind of wisdom. There's also a worldly wisdom, and we know that. In fact, we're seeing a lot of that displayed today. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I find it interesting that in this day and age, We will hear people say things like, we are learning faster, we are knowing more, we are becoming more intelligent, we have more knowledge today than we had before. I would disagree with that. And I'll give you an example. When I went to high school, I went to a tech school when I was in a machine shop, and I was learning how to be a machinist. My grandfather was a machinist. He was a master machinist. In my schooling, the CNC and the computer machinist stuff was starting to come along. And so I was learning how to put programs into a computer that the machine would do the certain work. My grandfather could sit down at a manual machine with a block of steel, work out on a piece of paper, and make that thing. I knew how to push buttons. He knew how to make stuff. Who was wiser? Well, it was him, obviously. Obviously, you know. So the fact that we have this advancement in technology does not mean we're getting smarter. It means we know how to use technology. But why is it that all of our subjects and all the things that are being taught are being dumbed down? Why is it that thanks to Twitter and things like that, if you send a letter or a message that's more than so many words, people just don't read it. They just can't be bothered. And we deal with that with our job all the time. We send an email, and it's got details in it. And they'll send questions back, and they'll say, well, what about this? Well, I just explained it to you, but it's at the bottom of the email. Let me move it to the top of the email so that you'll get it, you know? I can't say that, but that's how I feel, you know? Knowledge is learning. It's the learning of something. Wisdom is applying what you learned. So let me give you an example of that. Any of you that have children have probably used the phrase, well, if they all jumped off a bridge, would you? Knowledge is that child watching his friend jump off a bridge. Wisdom is going, I ain't doing that. Knowledge is, if I do this, I know that this is going to be the repercussions. How about this? I sassed my dad one time. I mean bad. And my dad incorporated corporal punishment, if you will. He took me to task in a big way. And I deserved it. But at 13, I didn't think I deserved it. At 13, I had the answers, and who was he to say, and I sassed him bad, and he put me in my place. A few months down the road, another situation arises where I could sass my dad, and I didn't dare. Why? Because of knowledge, I used wisdom. You understand? I know what the consequences of that are going to be. With worldly wisdom, we see the wisdom that this world will gravitate to and say is so wonderful, but yet to God it is foolishness. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse number 17, it says this, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect." What he's saying here is, I didn't use big words, I didn't use big meanings, I didn't use everything. I just broke down and made it simple. This is the gospel message. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? A great example of this is what we saw in VBS when Brother Skip was here and talking about creation versus evolution. Do you understand that it takes more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation? Because everything around us proclaims the glory of God and what God has done. Evolution, everything, from carbon dating to everything, has been proved that there's holes all through it. And yet they still hold to it and go, no, evolution had to have happened. Why? Because in their minds they have got to find something other than God. So these guys with these PhDs and all these letters and all these things that say, This is wisdom. We know this. We know this has happened. They really don't. They're just hoping that it happened. And then they throw a bunch of words and quote-unquote wisdom at it. So there is a worldly wisdom. And we see here in God's word that he says that he's going to bring it to naught and that he's going to, that it is foolishness before him. In verse number 21, it says this, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know, really look at this verse, 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Do you know what that means? It means they got so smart, they didn't need God. They got so smart that they didn't need to have faith. They got to a point of, we just know this is it, you know? And so then he says this, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why when you're witnessing to some people, they'll say, you mean that's all there is to it? You mean I don't have to do something? You know, there isn't something that I have to attain? There isn't something that I have to accomplish? No, you have to believe. You have to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and you put your faith in what Christ did on the cross, and then you're saved. And the wisdom of the world says, well, there's got to be something that has to be attained. There has to be something that I have to get a hold of here. Verse 22, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." We've looked at this verse a lot as we've been looking at spiritual gifts. "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men,
And the weakness of God is stronger than men.
if you're going to memorize any verse at all, I would encourage you to start with that one. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men.
You know, God is wiser and stronger than anything that we've got going on today.
And you know, all this stuff that the world is using, that our government is using, that our society is using to try to control us, to silence us, to quiet the message of God.
It's all from a worldly wisdom. It's all from a worldly standpoint. It's all from, you know, there's an agenda behind it.
There's something behind it, you know?
So there is a worldly wisdom, but with God, it's just foolishness.
But then there's a wisdom that we pray for. If you go over with me to James chapter 1,
I don't think there's probably anybody in here that hasn't at one time thought on, prayed on, or whatever this verse.
James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God,
that giveth to all men liberally,
and upbraideth not,
and it shall be given him.
You know, there's a wisdom that we'll look for in trying to deal with something or trying to figure something out.
You know, there are times with our jobs,
maybe we're put into a situation where we have to learn something new,
and it's coming hard. It's getting tougher to figure things out, or it's just a tough situation that you're in.
We'll pray, we'll ask God, please give me wisdom. Help me to figure this out.
Help me to get a hold of this, you know?
And so there is this wisdom that we ask God for.
But the wisdom that we're talking about in a spiritual gift is this.
Turn over maybe just one page, but James chapter 3.
James chapter 3 and verse number 13. James chapter 3, verse 13, it says this.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you?
Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom.
But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
So there is a devilish wisdom or a worldly wisdom. He says it here.
If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
You know, so there is a wisdom that is of the world.
We saw that in 1 Corinthians 1 also.
For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work.
In verse number 16. Now 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle,
easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
So this is the gift that we're seeing here.
It's the spiritual gift, the wisdom.
And it's really a supernatural ability to correctly and concisely apply spiritual principles to contemporary problems.
You know, when we see here in verse number 17,
but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated.
Let me give you an example of this use. You're sharing with a brother or sister in Christ.
You're sharing with them something that's going on in your life,
whatever it might be.
But it's something that has you perplexed. It's something that has you troubled.
It's troubled in your spirit and such.
And as you share that, this person that you're sharing it with.
Now, let me continue and then I'll make a clarifying statement.
But you're sharing this with them, and they just have a verse for you.
Oh, here's a verse.
I remember this verse. Remember when it says in the Bible that, you know,
There are people out there that no matter what gets thrown at them,
no matter what situation they see, hear, are told about, or whatever,
they have the ability to just pull a scriptural truth or a Bible verse or a principle from God's word,
for whatever that might be.
Now, I can't necessarily say that I have this.
Now, I know how to find it.
You ask me a question, you have something going on in your life.
I can go to the scriptures and I can find an answer.
But these people, they have the ability to just... God gives them that ability to just bring out a verse and spiritually help someone that's in a time of struggle and a time of trial.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peaceful, gentle.
It's easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy.
You know, it's easy to come alongside somebody and go, Oh yeah, I understand exactly where you're coming from. And then joining them with whatever calamity or whatever it might be going on.
But to be able to point them to the Word of God and help them through the situation, that's a special kind of wisdom.
To be able to do that. And so that's what we're looking at here. There's just this wisdom that just flows from some folks. They can just have a verse for it. I've known some evangelists that were like this. I've known some preachers that had this gift. No matter what you brought to them, and it could be just something cold right out of the blue, just boom, and they would go, oh, let's go to the Bible here, and let me just show you something here. And some of that wisdom comes with time, comes with time with the Lord, comes with time in God's Word, you know, it really does. As we're learning God's Word, as we're learning the principles of God's Word, we commit those things to memory. None of us are going to be able to memorize Genesis to Revelation, okay? None of us are going to be able to do that.
But the Holy Spirit can give us the wisdom to pull the verse that we need at the moment that we need it.
And so just to be able to do that is a special spiritual gift. We'll get into that a little bit more later in further lessons. The next one I want you to see is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. And this one is going to be interesting. Verse 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. It says, to another, the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. This is huge, and this is definitely a spiritual gift. If you would turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, there is a gift of discernment of spirits. In 1 John chapter 4, it says this, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now I want to bring something to your attention here in this verse. The word spirit there is lowercase s. Okay, we're not talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the spirit in a man, or the spirit, the characteristics and so forth. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world.
Interesting, John wrote that.
Already in the world then, still in the world today. In fact, it's gaining a lot of traction today. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Keep your finger right there and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Keep your finger right there, and we're going to go right back to this. There is a discernment of spirits. And it tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that we're to try the spirits. What is this? This is when somebody comes to you and has a message, or maybe they're even talking about God, but they're talking about God in a way that just doesn't match up with anything you've ever heard before. Maybe it just doesn't even match up with anything you've been taught or things like that. And it says here to try the spirits. Now, it doesn't mean when somebody comes to your presence and goes,
Hey, I'm a Christian.
I mean, we can be happy at that, but believe me, as the conversation continues, it's going to become more evident whether or not they truly are or not. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, it says this, the Spirit, capital S, itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Verse 16 says this, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now this is specifically talking about the Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit. We get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in, dwells within us. We are made alive again. And we have a fellowship with the Spirit. But isn't it also true that the Spirit that now lives in me If you are saved, we'll bear witness with the Spirit that now lives in you. When we come together and we join together, and I said this morning as we were getting started, isn't it great to come in here on Sunday and just be like, okay, we're here. We're of one mind, we're of one accord, we're we love the Lord, I'm not going to say we're all saved. I would never make that statement, but for the most part, we're living together, we're Christians, we're fellowshipping together, and the Spirit beareth witness. We know that. Have you ever gone and visited a church where you don't know anybody? But boy, you just had some great fellowship there because the Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit was there. People were saved and there was fellowship. You didn't know anybody. You were a stranger. But yet there was some camaraderie. There was some oneness there because of that spiritual connection that we have. There is a discerning of spirits. There are some people that just naturally trust everybody. And there are some people that don't trust anybody. Okay? And there's a discernment of spirits, and sometimes that discernment, that questioning, so to speak, is a supernatural ability that God has given to some people to be able to try the spirits. It's been said that over 90%, a personal survey taken among several hundred pastors concerning this gift revealed the following. Over 90% of these pastors felt they did not possess the gift of discernment. But over 90% felt that their wives did. Isn't that interesting? Because the pastor's like, oh, I'm going to help you. And they have that always half full kind of mentality. And it's all going to be good. And then something happens and it's not good. You know, what's the difference between an optimist and a pessimist? Time. Some of you will get that. It's just time. But it's interesting. Some people just feel like they're just going to trust everybody, they find the good in everybody, they find all that. But there are some people out there that will use the name of Christianity and the name of God, and they're up to no good. And God gives some people the ability to see that. And the ability to deal with that. We have some great examples in the scriptures of this. If we go to Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. We see this, Peter using this gift.
Did I do something wrong?
Acts chapter 8, verse number 9. Follow along as I read this here. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one, to whom they all had gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Now remember, the sign gifts were given to give validation and weight to the gospel message that the apostles were bringing forth. Well, there were people in that time also that would use the magical arts, sorcery, things like that, to get people to follow them. Hey, look what I can do. Hey, look what I'm able to do. This went back as far as, remember Moses. Moses, when he went before Pharaoh and he had the staff and he threw the staff down and it became a snake. And then the priests or whatever, the really they were demonic, but the counselors of Pharaoh there, they threw their staffs down. They became snakes, but then Moses, the snake, ate their snakes. And then Moses picked it up and, there are those that were showing these wonderful things and getting a following. And it says here that this man, Simon, is one of them, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs
which were done. Now when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. So this is a man that had a following because of some magical things that he was able to do. The word of God is growing. The number of Christians is growing. People are getting baptized. And so now he is trying to tap into that power that he can continue to have his following and have his money and such. And so he sees the apostles lay hands on these people. They receive the Holy Ghost, and Simon's like, I want to be able to do that. How much will it take for you to show me how to do that? Saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. What did Peter do here? This man's going, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh yeah, look at the wonderful things I can do. Oh wow, you guys laid hands on people and they got the Holy Ghost? Hey. What do I got to do to be able to do that? And Peter calls him out for it. Repent, therefore, of this thine wickedness, and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. He calls him out on it, and he says, hey, you know, you're not, you need to repent. You're not right with God. You're not doing this from a right heart, right spirit. He had the ability to see that this man was not right before God. God gave him the ability to see that. Paul used this in Acts chapter 13. In Acts chapter 13, starting at verse number 1, we see, now there was in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and men in, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. So here was another one that was using sorcery, using things to get a following, to try to link up, so to speak, with the apostles and so forth. And God gave him the ability to see through it and to call him out. We see another situation of this with Ananias and Sapphira, when they sold a portion of the land, and then they kept a portion. I mean, they sold the land, but they kept a portion of it back. And then when they brought it before the church to make a big showing, they're like, here it all is. And remember, the husband fell down dead. He was called out for it.
And he fell down dead. And then the wife comes in, and they're like, "Now be careful how you answer." Obviously, I'm paraphrasing. It's okay. Don't go look it up and go, "Oh, that's not what he's." I'm paraphrasing this, but he's, you know, be careful how you answer. "Is this the sum of money that you got?" "Oh, yes, it is." And then he says, "The men that carried out thy husband are here to carry thee out," and she fell down dead too. Nobody had any knowledge of that. It says that her and her husband devised this in their hearts privately. They sold a portion of land, and they came to make a big showing. They sold land. They kept a portion of it back, but they came in and presented it like, "Here's everything." And because they were devious in this, the Lord actually took their lives for it. And Peter was able to call them out on that in that second portion of Scripture. So, you know, here's a discernment. And there are people that have this gift of the discernment of spirits, you know. This person's not quite what they say they are. You know, I don't know. And sometimes you don't know why. You just feel like, boy, something's just not right. I can't put my finger on it, but something just is not right. I'll give you an example of this. I don't know if I'm as in tune with this as I used to be or not. This was definitely one of my strongest, was the discernment of spirits. And I think God gave me that at a time when I really needed it, because I needed to know if somebody was being honest with me or not being honest with me. And I remember there was a man that came to our church, and this was early on, before I ever went to Bible school or anything. But a man came to our church, and he wanted to work with our youth group. And the pastor was meeting with him and talking with him and stuff. And he just really wanted to work with our youth group. And when you look at his resume, he had a great resume for youth work. He really did. On paper, it looked great. And so the pastor came to me and he goes, "Listen," he says, I've spent a lot of time with you. My pastor and I, we were best of friends. You know, we knew each other really well. And he says, "You know," he says, "I want you to spend a little time with this guy. Just tell me what you think." He says, "Something just doesn't seem right, you know." And so I did. I didn't spend much time with him, but I spent enough. And so I met up with the pastor, and he goes, "What do you think?" And I go, "I don't know. There's just something not right." And he goes, "Okay." And so he never did let him become a youth minister at our church or anything like that. He went on to another church and became a youth minister there. Probably about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years down the road, it was found out that he was actually abusing children, abusing the teens, girls. He was, I really don't know what ended up happening to him, because that was a time when people were like, "Well, just get out of the church and we'll forget about it," instead of pressing charges and getting people, you know, arrested and stuff. But this man just—he really was an abuser of children. On paper, he looked great, and you know, the pastor was like, "Boy, something just isn't right," but I don't know what. He said, "Something's just not." I spoke with him. We definitely prayed about it and such. He's like, "Something's just not right." But we had nothing to base it on. We didn't know. And then later on, that was found out. So, you know, there is people that God does give people the ability through this gift of the discernment of spirits. And, boy, you know, something's just not right here, and I don't know what it is. Now, remember, these aren't gifts that we're supposed to go, "Oh, yeah, I never liked that person. I must have the gift of discernment." Be careful with that, you know. Be careful with that. That's not what we're talking about here, okay? We're not talking about, "Oh, I knew it. Never got along with that person. God gave me that wisdom." No, that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about when everything else looks right or when everything else seems right. Because the example that we're given in the Scriptures is that somebody is coming, they're bringing the gospel, they're bringing a Christian, I don't know, unity, so to speak, or something. They're claiming to be Christians anyway, but something's just not right, you know? So if you're one of those people that you just trust people and you find the best in people and all that, praise the Lord, great. You know, God gave some people that ability. Gave them the ability to just always see that glass is half full. And then God's given some the ability to be discerning of spirits. And then some, the devil's just made them grumpy. I mean, let's just be honest. There's just grumpy, angry people, you know. Now, hopefully, as you spend time with the Lord and as the Lord works in your heart and you're growing in the Lord, that grumpiness will turn and will change. You know, and, you know, we don't find grumpiness in the fruit of the Spirit at all. I wish we did. But we don't find grumpiness in the fruit of the Spirit. We do find love, joy, peace, and so forth. So, so there is, you know, there are these gifts. God uses these gifts. And certainly, I hope that you can see that there is a use for those gifts in the church of God, you know. Not everybody that walks through the door and goes, I'm a Christian, I'm here to help your church, is actually going to be here to help our church. And if the leadership of the church dismisses somebody like that, we need to have enough confidence in our leadership to know that they take that to the Lord and there's a reason. We may not need to know all the details. We may not. I had a situation like that with a lady that was getting done playing the piano at our church. And she had Alzheimer's coming on, but she was keeping it very quiet. Her and her husband were very private about it. And she came to me one day and she was like, I can't do the piano anymore. She goes, I keep losing my spot. I keep losing all my... And I was like, okay. I said, we'll take care of it. So I got another piano player. But then in the church, I was accused of driving out certain people. And so I went and I met with the people that were accusing me of it. And I said, this is a private conversation. This goes nowhere. And I said, I have permission to be able to share this. And I laid it out as far as why she was not going to be playing the piano. And I'll never forget, this one guy looks at me and he goes, wow, I never knew that. You didn't need to. It was none of your business. But you made a big stink about it. Now we're here. So sometimes we just got to go, okay, God, I may not understand it all, but I trust you and I trust what you're doing. And we got to believe that, you know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for time in your word this morning and these spiritual gifts and having used them. Lord, always they are to be used to your edifying, to the edifying of the church, I should say. The edifying of the church, the exhorting of the church, and just the building up to make us a strong, a vibrant, and a useful body of Christ. Father, I pray, Lord, that as we go through these and we become clearer on what our spiritual gifts are and how we can use them, that, Lord, we will use them and be used in your church here. Father, just thank you that you have given abilities to each one that we can all work together. Father, thank you so much for what you've done. Please be with our morning service. Be with the pastor as he brings forth the message. Lord, just challenge our hearts. And Father, help our hearts, our minds to just be stayed on you this day, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.